bring this meeting of the Hess Committee to order at 8:35, February the 26th. Present is Representative Gonzalez, Representative Mark Hanley, Representative Sherry Davis, and myself, Representative Pat Kearney. The first bill on our agenda this morning will be House Bill 85, sponsor Mike Navar. Mike, would you come forward, please? Take your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Mike Navar. I represent District 5 in the State House. The bill you have before you is pretty straightforward. It just requires strobe lights on both the arms and flashing lights and up on the tops of the school buses. And it's used already in a number of areas around the state. Last guess, some very inclement weather, fog, snowstorms. And this is simply a method of further protecting the school children. It provides better visibility for the buses. All of the school districts that we've contacted so far, I think except for one, was in favor of this piece of legislation, provided that we provide money for them to access in order to put the strobes on top of their buses. There's a fiscal note of $173,000 that's provided with the bill in order to provide school districts money so that they can upgrade their buses, and it will provide for better safety for school children.
Yes, Representative Davis.
Representative Navar, question. Since many of the school districts, in fact, most of the school districts that I'm aware of don't own their own buses, was consideration given to the issue of, I take it you're assuming that the school districts will still go and install these on the buses, whoever owns the buses?
Right. It would be a requirement, be required by the state, so the contractors would have to come up with it. And I'd expect that the school districts would then have to pay, or the contractors were to have it installed, and then would be reimbursed by the state.
Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second part of my question, I guess, is kind of a two-part question. Did you give any consideration to the idea of requiring them as of the beginning of their next bus contract, so that, for instance, the school districts would then write into their contract that these would be required and avoid the expense of everybody, of us paying to have everybody put them on?
Well, I guess that regardless of which way you go, it's going to cost the school districts more, whether they do it through contracting and require that whoever the contractor is put them on, or whether the state pays for them. Someone has to pay for it, and they'll do it contractually in any event.
You want to continue?
Yeah, just to continue that line. I guess we, at one time in our community, decided we wanted radios on the buses, and we contract with the bus company, and so we got permission from DOE to include that in our contract, in our bid documents, and required it as part of the bid, and took it as part of the bid. So, and since it was absorbed, and the bid didn't go up at that time, so the contractor absorbed it, and that was the whole point of my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gonzalez.
Yes, Representative Navar, through the chair. I guess there's another question that follows almost like Representative Davis here, and that is, do we own, is the state going to own the lights?
Yeah, that's actually a fairly good question, and I hadn't even considered it at this point. If you install them on contract buses.
I haven't considered we own the buses.
We're paid for it.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Hanley?
How many school districts already provide this, the requirements under the bill? Do you know a rough percentage? Or I know some of them, I see the buses in Juneau have the strobe on the roof, I believe. I don't know if they have the arms. And I know in Anchorage, a lot of the buses
have the strobe, and in Fairbanks, they're required.
If I may, the
that statement is correct.
Tom Ackerley. some of the school districts, like you say, have either the stop arms or they strobe on top of the bus. And the DOE has done a survey for us, or just finished their bus survey, and come up with the numbers to get the 173.7, figuring out who has what, who has, some have none, some have some. And that's how they came up with the 173.7. They just recently completed the bus survey. So anyhow, through this whole procedure, in order to, they retrofit the bus, and then they apply to the DOE to get reimbursement. And there's a procedure the DOE will set up to get that reimbursement. But we don't have an exact number. There's 935 buses in the state.
Could you come forward and take Representative Barr's place? Another Representative Barr has to leave for another appointment. Perhaps you can take his place and ask his question. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Barr. I didn't know if there were any further questions.
Yeah,
continue, Representative
Hamlin. I guess it gets back to the nonprofit. It looks to me as if we're going to reimburse school districts also for renovations that have already taken place. In other words,
no. This is the intent, anyhow, is to only to pay for the new retrofit. Now, when the school district, when we put this into regulation, any future contracts would include, I mean, when they buy new buses, it will include the strobe lights. It'll be just part of the package, part of the safety equipment. But this only brings buses that are currently in the service up to snuff.
Okay. Then the way I read, the only reason I ask that is it says the Department of Education shall reimburse each school district for the initial costs incurred by each school district as of November 1st, 91, of obtaining, installing, it doesn't actually, I mean, they may have been, it's not clear to me that the cost, I mean, if they did it last March or this summer, it looks to me like they could apply to have that cost reimbursed. And I mean, that may be, I just want to make it clear
sure.
what the intent is, and we can debate whether that should be the case or not. And that's why I say, because I can tell you that if that's not your intent, you probably have every school district applying for that, because at that point, and then I'm not sure how that would work either, because they would, it gets into the whole thing again. In Anchorage, we have half the school buses are actually owned by the school district, so they would reimburse themselves. But half of them are owned by whoever is a private contract. So, but the intent only from X point forward, any of the renovations that need to take place.
Any bus, yeah, that's I would say intent. That's what you said. I don't know how exactly to put it in here. To
Representative Davis.
If you're thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see there's a letter in here from the Anchorage School District that talks about the school buses being required to have the stop arm strobe lights since September 89, and et cetera. And they talk about after the buses were delivered and began operating, the Anchorage Police Department notified me that these lights were illegal and school bus drivers using the lights would be issued citations. I'm kind of curious about that since the letter that they attached obviously wasn't attached to our packet.
I've tried to run this down even further, and talking to the bill drafters and the legal people, if this piece of legislation is passed, it will supersede the regulation, the way I understand it, in the city of Anchorage. This will supersede that, the way I understand it now. Maybe.
What's the purpose of what they've got?
Apparently, the way I understand it, the white lights have been reserved only for snowplows.
Okay.
And that's the way I understand it now. It's been a hard thing to pinpoint.
Right. Can you just continue?
Yes, continue, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My concern, I guess, is that I'm not sure how this is going to. Obviously, this Anchorage is doing it to a certain extent now. Fairbanks is doing it to a certain extent now. So then, it's the communities under those sizes that we're really trying to address, or we're trying to address the rest of the buses in their fleets that aren't already equipped, and then the smaller communities. And I, without talking to my folks at home, I don't have any idea how this might affect us or whether there are problems that I'm not perceiving here at this time. So I have a little hesitancy right at the moment until I talk to the person in Ketchikan, for instance, that's in charge of the bus transportation stuff.
In our district, in Kenai, we have strobes on the stop arms, but we don't have them on the roof. In Fairbanks, they have strobes on the top, but they don't have them on the stop arms. And they're supportive of the idea as long as they're reimbursed. But I have not talked to Ketchikan again, so I don't know how they feel about it.
Representative Hanley, did you want to propose an amendment to make certain that people couldn't be qualified for installations in place presently?
I'm not sure. I hadn't thought, you know, I hadn't actually thought about it. I just wanted to get clear on the point first, and then I guess I don't have the information I was looking for as far as which districts are in which situation, and particularly now. May I ask another question?
Yes.
In the Anchorage situation, they have white strobes on their stop arms, and that's why they were illegal?
No, they have. They don't have anything on their stop arms now. They have white strobes. Some of them are placed on the back taillights. Mm. And part of the problem there is you blind the driver behind you. And it seems to be the best location is to be, the consensus seems to be, to put it 6 feet from the rear of the bus, so that you get a deflection of the light so it doesn't come right down into the driver's eyes right behind you. So part of the problem with some of those buses in Anchorage that I've been behind, I guess they're city buses that they use to transport
right.
kids. Those strobes, when they come on, you can't see. And Fairbanks, I guess, has probably the best of everything they have on top, about 6 feet from the rear. And there's also some buses that there's a clause in here too. I ought to point out along the same lines. There's a clause in here. Some buses have them in the middle, and as they phase out, you know, and the new buses come online, they'll be put to the rear of the bus or 6 feet from the rear. But I don't know if I answered your question. Romaine is here from People Transportation. She's the one who put the figures together to come up with the physical note.
That may be helpful.
Perhaps. Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman, I just have a suggestion. It seems to me that it might be clearer on page 2, line 7, if instead of cost incurred by each school district as of November 1st, if you put after, the word after instead of place of as of.
Well,
at least consider that as an option, because that to me makes it clearer language that you're actually talking about costs incurred after rather than. Well, yeah, your point is November 91 is passed.
That's when they have to have it all
they
done.
They have to have it done by then,
the
so that it may need to be from now until. I mean, if you do it after November
well,
1st,
okay.
Then
how about
then
from the effective date of?
Yeah, after the effective date of yeah.
To November 1st.
Right, immediately following
yeah.
the effective date to something like that, so you make sure that you have a window of opportunity to do it, but not a pre window of opportunity to do it.
Representative Hanley.
Do you have any studies, transportation studies or anything else? My concern is not so much that we're doing this, but that we've made very specific requirements as to the number, the color on the arms, the size, or the color and the placement on the roof. I don't have a problem with that. I just hate to see us come back with a national transportation study a couple of years from now and say that, you know, because they're 6 feet back, or
mm-hmm.
maybe they are blinding in the eyes, or maybe they should be blinding in the eyes when it comes to a school bus because people definitely stop. I mean, maybe they should be mounted on the tail. You know, I just hate to go through this once, put out money particularly, and that's one of the concerns, I think, is to reimburse not only school districts but eventually private contractors for this. And maybe not do the ultimate job that we're trying to do is put them in the best place. Have you guys got any studies?
We've got, there's a snowplow study that was done in Minnesota, and it talks about the different colored lenses, in which gives you the greater visibility. And I guess I've relied more on the Bob Shepchek from the Fairbanks District, because they've been doing it for 10 years, and they have ice fog and every conceivable nasty condition there, and they say they get great visibility. They've tried it several different lenses, and this wide lens seems to be the best. I have seen conflicting things, though, on lens color. So I've relied on him primarily because of this.
Now, Fairbanks has the
white
arms?
No, they do not have. They have it on top.
They have it on top.
Kenai has the red stop arm strobes.
But any other question?
Yeah, sort
of. Sort of.
Any further questions from the committee members? Thank you. Did someone else, anyone else in the audience, wish to testify on this legislation? State your name, please, and who you represent.
My name is Romaine Kareem. I'm the administrator of the Pupil Transportation Program for the Department of Education. And we are supportive of this legislation for the safety enhancements of school buses and protection of school children. I'd be glad to respond to questions that you might have. We have some technical questions, and I'll do the best I can for you.
Mr. Chairman, do you have any specifics as to the, as a breakdown of the districts that already have, that would meet compliance as the bill is written, and those that would meet compliance of the arms, or just a rough idea?
The large districts require roof and or stop arm strobes as part of their contracts, and it varies from one district to another. For the roof mount strobes, Fairbanks and Anchorage require roof mount strobes. Matsu and Kenai don't, and other districts don't. For the stop arm strobes, Anchorage, Matsu, and Kenai require those by contract, and the Fairbanks district doesn't. The other districts don't. Currently, stop arms have two red flashing lights in them. There are national minimum standards for school buses that Alaska has adopted, the State Board of Education has adopted by regulation, and it requires stop arms with flashing red lights in them. So this would improve the visibility of the stop arms and increase motorists' attention by making the red lights strobes flashing. The national minimum standards speak to roof mount strobes in terms of if they are placed on school buses, it's recommended that they be placed within 6 feet from the rear of the bus, and some technical type information. So this legislation would mandate that, and there are roof mount strobes in several states. The Fairbanks district in particular in Alaska feels very strongly that they enhance the safety of school children.
So it appears to me that the Anchorage School District then would meet both requirements because they have both the roof mount, and even if they're mounted in the middle under this bill, they would be grandfathered in, and they also have the arm mount.
Anchorage has two separate bus contracts, mm-hmm. and they operate buses themselves. My information shows that they have 286 buses total, 168 have roof mount strobes, and 118 would be needed. So I'm guessing that one of those contracts, or the district-operated buses, or a combination, don't require roof mount strobes. So a portion of their service is required by contract to have those. And I don't have the detail. I could get that for you. Probably those are district-operated buses that don't all have roof mount strobes.
Other questions? Mr. Manley, does that complete your question?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, if it wouldn't be too disruptive, I'd appreciate you holding the bill for at least a couple of days and allow us to have maybe some of our questions answered. I would feel more comfortable being able to call home and ask just exactly how we do this in Ketchikan or whatever, and perhaps by then some of our rest of our committee might be back and would be able to. pay the bills with.
I think that's a good suggestion, but perhaps we should see if anyone else wants to testify on the bill.
Could I offer one more comment to answer a question regarding reimbursement for costs? The way I envision this working, if current school bus contracts require installation of roof mount and or stop arm strobes, that wouldn't be part of the state reimbursement. So if it's required by contract and not currently installed, we haven't built that into our fiscal note. These would be required by, we haven't updated our Alaska minimum standards, but we would address this in Alaska minimum standards also. But this would get the buses equipped now and enhance the safety of school children soon. We don't know when those Alaska standards would be updated for sure, but in the near future. Okay.
Questions? Thank you very much.
Just a comment. Maybe you could work with the sponsor of the bill and see if it needs to be clarified, and maybe it looks like it might need to be clarified in the bill. Maybe you could come up with a clarification so we could look at that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify on this legislation? Hearing none. What is our schedule tomorrow? I remember one day we said, let's postpone it till Thursday. So we'll take this bill up again, House Bill 85 again on Thursday. By that time, perhaps the sponsor can come back with some changes to the best of you. Next bill that the committee will take up is House Bill 127, and we have a representative from Representative Ellis's office here. Would you please step up and give your name, please, for the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to testify on HB 127. My name is Diana Rhodes. I'm with Representative Ellis. I apologize for his absence. He is in Ketchikan right now, I think. He might be in the air. HB 127 has two purposes. It establishes a scholarship for students majoring in education, government, or public administration, and it honors a great Alaskan, Nick Begich. Nick Begich initiated kindergarten in Alaska. He was an educator and superintendent at Fort Richardson. He served two terms in the Alaska State Senate, and in 1970, he ran for the U.S. House of Representatives and represented Alaska for 1 year until he died. Jane Maynard from the Commission on Postsecondary Education was also going to be here. I don't think she's up in the air, too. But she was going to testify on the zero fiscal note with this bill. There are currently five memorial scholarships in statute. The Robert Thomas Memorial Scholarship is already in the Department of Education. This Nick Begich Scholarship would join in the Department of Education. They already have a group set up to handle all the applications, and the applications would be printed in the through the Department of Education, and it's not very expensive, so it's a zero fiscal note. I appreciate the opportunity to testify. If you have any questions, I can answer them.
Questions from the committee?
I just technical question of how the scholarships work. It appears that you can donate leave. Is that how and that's where they get the funds for the program?
Or direct donations.
We have a memo from Representative Ellison's office about a proposed amendment, a slight change. Mm-hmm. Do you want to speak to that, or are you familiar?
It's just changing a couple lines in it. That when we set up the bill, we said that he was the father of the state-operated school system. He was not. He was the father of Alaska kindergarten.
What line are we talking about?
Page 2, line 17 and 18.
Yeah.
have a copy that does come in. Do you have a copy?
Yeah, I have a copy.
Okay.
You want to see it?
Yeah, that's it.
Mr. Chairman, I would move amendment number one.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, amendment adopted. Any further questions for the witness? Thank you very much, Diane.
Thank you.
I have no sign-up sheet of people interested in testifying. Is anyone in the audience that wishes to testify in support of this legislation?
On this particular bill?
This bill, yes. Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move HB 127 with individual recommendation.
It's objection. Hearing no objection, so ordered. Final bill on our agenda today, HCR
4.
4, yeah. I took my glass on, so I made things. Who, thank you, Representative McLean, for coming forward. Proceed.
Okay. Co-Chairman Pat Carney and House Hess members, I really appreciate you hearing this bill, House Concurrent Resolution 4, today. And this House Concurrent Resolution 4 would establish the Joint Committee on School Improvement and to continue the committee's work and make additional recommendations as warranted. The committee's concern would be on the school governance and finance, the foundation formula program. Needs to be further studied, and one of the things that we have been doing within the school performance committee is to have hearings throughout the state on the educational system within the state of Alaska, and we would like to continue the work of that committee. There are still a lot of issues that need to be addressed, and you have within your packet the fiscal note, and it asks for $50,000, and you also, you should have within your packet a sectional analysis of the resolution.
Does that complete your testimony?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions from the committee? Representative Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a question, a comment, though I served on the committee for the past 2 years, and under the able co-chairmanship of Representative McLean, and it was a very effective group. I think we were able to use that committee as a vehicle to explore a lot of issues that had been of concern for some time in the school districts in the state, and I think there's a level of respect and trust for what the committee's work has been so far that we carry forward into the next 2 years and allow us to do some additional things, I think, that would be very beneficial as far as quality of education in the state of Alaska. So I would recommend that the committee advance the bill.
Representative McLean, you haven't touched on the reason you're coming back. What is it, a two-year? Was it set up for 2 years and
mm-hmm.
then it just dies or something?
Mm-hmm. Throughout the two-year process, we studied some areas of concern. Some legislation has passed through them, and one of them is on the school reporting. The school districts are to report to the state DOE and to the legislature and provide that report to them. And the other area that we really have not touched on is the foundation formula program and the school governance and finance. What we found out throughout our hearings are that they're two programs that are compatible to each other, and we need to study further into that. And there were some other areas that we didn't have time to touch into, and so it should be in your report where we're going to go next and some of the legislation that we're going to be pursuing this session.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Representative Hens.
I was looking over the report, and it's pretty generic on the resolution, and I understand that, although I would like to potentially see it be a lot more specific, because they asked some very good questions in the report, and it's pretty well laid out. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of, they've done the basic research in a lot of areas, and specifically one of their top priorities is that of all the needs identified finance is most complex, and it talks about answering the questions on pages 46 and 47 and 61 through 64. And that, what they suggest in here is the main intent of this new group, the main focus, and I would like to maybe just make more specific reference to that, too. I assume they'll do that. But it's pretty explicit in here that is exactly what, I mean, they've done a lot of work and they asked some real good questions about the instructional unit and area cost differential. And a lot of those questions have been around for a long time. Even if we don't put it in, I hope the intent is that the first thing addressed, and I would hope the work on this would be focused in those areas and hopefully try and come back by next session. They do have to present a report by the 15th day of next session, as well as a final report. And I would hope that the next report would be, the focus would largely be on the areas we've already identified that need work rather than focusing on additional ones.
For your information, your sectional analysis would explain in detail what the bill is going to be doing. And one is to reestablish the committee. Two is to really look into the finance and the governance. And you're right, it's more specific in the summary report.
Thank you, Representative Plant. Any further questions from the committee? Representative Hamilton.
The other, and we're not the finance committee, but I see a $50,000 fiscal note with the bill for personal services to hire an administrative assistant, and as well as for travel. I personally would prefer that we absorb that in the whole thing in the legislature's budget. Rather than, this is the tact I'm going to be taking for the whole budget, is that any new programs that we need to add in most areas either need to come out of the existing budget or replace an old program, because I think our revenues are decreasing, and I think on just on a fiscal aspect, the legislature needs to take the lead, and I would encourage us to absorb the whole cost, not just the supplies. So that's a comment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? No further questions. Thank you, Representative. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify? Would you please come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I am John Oakley with Indian Alaska. If I may, I would like to pass out this letter to the HESR meeting. And then I'll talk through it. I think Representative Hanley has hit on a couple of points that I think we could improve this committee. And if I can work through this, I'll tell you why. We certainly do appreciate the concepts of our HCR, that there should be a legislative committee that should focus on problems of education, since it is such a significant amount of the total budget. And the joint committee did do the best job I think it could do under the conditions that it was given, with a limited staff, limited monies. The result was limited effort and time to get the research. So we believe a better option would be to have two standing committees, have a standing committee on education in the House and in the Senate. Until that time, because that might take some time to establish, we would suggest that there be this joint education subcommittee of the House and the Senate, that it be the HESS chair appoint three members from each to sit on that committee. That then would allow, we think, for a better continuity of the issues, so that there can be greater study, and possibly there could be even more monies to provide the staff to do the research necessary. But irrespective of what is done, we do believe this committee, or a committee similar, should be continued, and so the focus continue on public education. If there are any questions, the letter will certainly answer.
Questions from committee? Thank you, Mr. Engelberg. Carl, do you want to testify? Please step forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Carl Rose, the Association of Alaska School Boards, members of the committee. Just to be brief, I'd like to support House concurrent resolution for. I'll be brief. Education is the liberty, the governance and finance of education is quite complex. And we look at this as an opportunity to focus and, as stated, to give extraordinary attention to public education. I think the opportunity for us as in the area of governance and finance to help educate the public and also deal with the legislature in terms of some of the difficulties that are being faced, some of the problems, but also some of the achievements that are being made. I think this is a great opportunity, and I would like to once again reiterate, we support the House concurrent resolution because of the opportunity that I think the entire state will have to study what we do in education. Many of us believe that down through the years, our educational system has evolved largely due to the amount of money that was available and our ability to address some of the diverse needs. As we look to the future, we're recognizing that the ability to continue to appropriate the kinds of dollars that we have in the last decade or so are being hindered. So I think the ability to take a comprehensive look at the educational needs and the way with which we address those needs, I think is really important. And I commend the committee for their past work, and once again, we support the House concurrent resolution for. I'll try to answer any questions.
Thank you. Question? No questions, I guess.
Thank you
very much. What is the wishes of the committee? Representative Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass out House concurrent resolution number 4 with individual recommendations.
Objection? There are no objections, so ordered. That concludes the work of this committee this morning. The meeting stands adjourned at 9:14.